So today's topic is about onboarding. This is a really important issue. And as you're going to see in a moment, when we start talking about what it is and what happens, you're going to learn why onboarding is so important. And onboarding, and just to give you a little bit of a big picture, and then Heather's going to give you and Larry are going to go into detail about it. I'm going to start very high up. In onboarding is a form of training, the way I characterize it. And onboarding is a fairly new concept for many of you, the name of it. But when you hear what it is, you're going to understand it's familiar. So onboarding basically is where you look to get new hires on board or up to a certain level of skill very quickly. And so these are very popular. If you ever see a Starbucks, you go to a Starbucks, everybody there is well trained and they have a structured system to get to where they need to be. And the Fortune 500 do that. They have systems and processes when a new hire comes on board. Now, in dentistry, typically when we hire a new team member, certainly if they're an admin team member who's going to answer the phone, basically they're hired and they're put right there to start answering the phone. And there isn't much training involved. There isn't much shadowing involved. And even assistants, we assume that they have the knowledge and let's just start working. And there's no step-by-step process to do that. And Heather's going to kind of give you a little bit of a story behind that. And that's disastrous because, you start having people answering phones and you have patients that want to spend a lot of money with you. And if they're not trained, you're just throwing that money out the window. And the Ritz-Carlton, for example, they will not allow a new hire to answer the phone, touch the phone, without 90 days of training. And so typically onboarding is somewhere between 30 to 90 days to get somebody up to speed where they're productive. Okay, and that's the concept of onboarding. And we're going to kind of focus on this topic here today. The other aspect of training that we believe in All-Star Dental Academy after you get onboarding is just getting everybody to the same speed. Onboarding is where you're just putting out the, you're trying to prevent fires. But if you want a competitive advantage, not only do you have to do onboarding, which very few dental offices do at all or any well, the next step is comprehensive training. And that's where you continue to train and you recognize that you don't know it all, that you have to keep revisiting things, improving things. And the offices that are consistently training, all of you that are constantly coming on study clubs, going to our webinars, going through the material, those are the teams and those are the practices that are going to succeed for the long run. And, an analogy that was brought up to me again, very famous analogy is or the story of the tortoise and hare, right? Typically, we all want to do the hare. We're going to run really fast and do it all at once and just go do the seminar all weekend. But the successful dentist, successful team member, successful person is one more like the turtle or the tortoise, step by step and just consistent, never ending. It's going to keep moving and not stop, not get distracted. And over time, as you know the story, the tortoise won the race, right? So we want you to be a tortoise. There's no silver bullet here. It's just understanding the mechanisms, understanding how to do it, and doing them little by little, and you'd be amazed of how much you can achieve. So I'm going to start with Heather, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her background with onboarding, and then Heather will go ahead and turn it over to Larry Gazzardo. Heather?
Thanks, Alex. Yeah, so as you said, it's vastly different when I came from a retail background and then went into the world of dentistry. So I started off in sales and management in different companies. So you mentioned before Bloomingdale's, I worked for Kate Spade, Theory, and a few others. And all those companies, because of the corporate nature and just the way that they trained, they had very strong onboarding programs that I was taken through when I started working for those companies. So for example, in Bloomingdale's, there was a 2 to 3 week training program when we first were trained on, let's say, week one, it was company policies, the different routines and practices, rules, HR, things like that. Then the second week, it was register and sales floor. The third week, we actually had to shadow a seasoned employee. And then they decided what was going to be the best department that they were going to assign us to. And then with Theory and Kate Spade, I was either the manager or the assistant store manager for those companies. So it was actually my job to recruit, hire, and train the teams So I did all the training, onboarding, and the HR paperwork with them. So in either situation, there was a lot of setup and a lot of process happening before the people were able to just go and sell or go and do their job. And then what happened is I transitioned into dentistry, and I was completely shocked because I worked with a few different companies. One of the companies had been in business for over 30 years, and there was absolutely no onboarding process. So I got there the first day, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to learn. What are the first steps? And there was no answers. They just basically said, you have to just figure it out as you go. So you can watch us, you pick up the phone, you figure it out, you can ask us questions, but you're kind of learning by failing. But that can be disastrous, as you mentioned, Alex, before with new patients. A lot of the patients were really, really patient and nice, and I think me having a good attitude and just telling them, listen, I'm new, so just have a little patience with me, that was really helpful. But it can also be disastrous if the patient doesn't have patience for you. And for me, being a perfectionist and a person that I didn't just like to get the job done, but I wanted to be the best at it, I tried to find employees to help me. And there were some employees that were willing to help during their downtime, but there was no consistency in even their training. So everybody was doing things haphazardly and different. There was no consistency in their training. So at that point, I decided that as I learned things, I was going to create systems and training so that ultimately down the road, we'd be able to use those training systems and put together All-Stars so that we'd be able to help others in offices that needed it with their onboarding and not have that same problem. So even seasoned employees in a dental office can benefit from onboarding training because a lot of times what happens is employees have maybe never had formal training before. They don't have systems to do things consistently. There might be employees that are naturally good on the phones or they might be good with scheduling, but it's got to be consistent. So you don't want to have an employee showing up one day doing things really well, but then another day they're falling behind. And also same thing from employee to employee is you want it to be consistent across the board. So onboarding is going to take everybody to that next level. And for new hires, obviously, it's the easiest way to get everybody up to speed quickly. It brings them into your office culture. And it's also important to have those systems in place before you bring on a new hire because you want to make sure that you're finding the employees that are going to adapt to your systems that you have set up. So I think onboarding is great. I think that it's something that is becoming more and more well known as companies want to grow and progress. And so that's something that we're going to just talk about a little bit in further discussion today. Back to you, Alex.
All right. So now I'm going to turn it over to Larry Gazzardo, and he's going to talk about onboarding in the tactical level. Actually doing it, performing it, as you've seen his background for 2 to 3 decades consulting, understanding how that works and putting into real world terms. So I'm turning over to Larry to talk and kind of walk us through that process from the different positions in the office. Larry?
Well, you know, I think if you put yourself in the position where you're going someplace where you've never gone before, if you can kind of think back to the first time you ever did something. Maybe you were meeting somebody new. Maybe you were going out on a date or something like that. But do you remember the kind of nervous feeling that you had before you got there? I'm saying that to you because I want you to hold that feeling because that's exactly what it's like for everybody when something new is going to start in the office. And I can't think of anything that's more new than a new staff member who's starting. And we put a lot of time and energy in learning how to layer composites and do the perfect prep. And doctors go through a lot of advanced postgraduate training to learn how to take care of advanced skills. Hygienists do the same. Even business office people are constantly learning how to do their jobs better, file claims, answer the phone, you know, prevent broken and canceled appointments. But the one thing we always seem to forget about is that important new person who's starting in the practice. And in a lot of offices, it's like Heather was saying, it's a trial by fire. It's like, you know, you're anxious to learn, and they're like, well, pick up the phone and just get started. The problem with that is that person is nervous too. And it's a very emotional time when people are first meeting each other for the first time. Everybody knows this. And so we've got to put as much planning to bringing people on board as we would to any new thing that we're learning.